Today's show is brought to you by Lightning Pod. If you have a podcast, you know that it's a lot of work. But Lightning Pod can help. We've been working with their founder, Eric Johnson, for more than a year now, and he's really helped us take the Smart Home Show to the next level. So if you're starting a new podcast or you want to make your existing podcast better, you should get in touch with Eric. Learn more at lightningpod.fm.
Hey everyone, this is Adam. After Cydia last year, Kaleidoscape was nice enough to loan me some of their hardware to test out in my home theater. Today, on part one of a two-part series, I sit down with Andre Floyd, their Director of Technical Marketing and Support, to go in-depth on their hardware and platform. I hope you enjoy our conversation. And now we'd love to introduce and welcome to the show Andre Floyd from Kaleidoscape. Welcome, Andre.
Thanks, Adam. Great to be here.
So I guess for our audience, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Kaleidoscape in general?
Sure. I am the Director of Technical Marketing and Support here at Kaleidoscape. I've been with Kaleidoscape for about 5 years next month. And prior to that, I was at Sony for 28 years. The last six of those, I was managing the home projector business. Prior to that, I introduced the cinema projectors, 4K cinema projectors to the world. So I've been in the home theater business for quite a while now.
Oh, so I have to thank you for my awesome Sony laser projector that I have in my setup too.
You actually do.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's good. I appreciate it. It's an awesome, awesome piece of equipment as well. Before we get started, as you know, we always start the show with a question. So my question for you, Andre, is what is your favorite movie to watch?
Ooh, that is a great question and comes up regularly. And my answer changes sometimes. But I think that my favorite movie going back into my early days has always been Jaws. Obviously, the story is great. And I was just enthralled at the time of the concept of a mechanical shark being used to create this movie. And so the production of it and the suspense of it, and just, you know, like the final scenes are just so beautifully shot, and that, you know, as they're trying to take down this shark out in the bay, you know, it just looks great, and it's just fun to watch, and it, you know, it never disappoints.
Side recommendation before I give my answer, if you haven't yet, you should play. I'm also a huge pinball fan. You should check out Stern's new Jaws pinball machine. Really fun.
Ooh, yeah, I'm a big pinball fan too.
Yeah, I got to play that at CES. They had it at their booth. So I'm sure you can look on their website and find one around there. But it's pretty fun setup. And they actually do licensing from properties like Jaws. So it actually has clips of the movie and stuff in it. It's kind of a cool experience.
Very cool.
There you go. So my favorite movie that probably is my go-to, you know, I always think about, like, what do you buy every time on a new platform? What have you watched again and again the most? For me, has to be The Matrix, the original Matrix movie. Something about that film, you know, I think was just so ahead of its time. And I went into it knowing very little about it, and I remember walking out of the theater just blown away. But yeah, it's definitely been one that I revisit over and over again. And as I was trying out Kaleidoscape, definitely, you know, tested some of the, you know, the lobby scene and some of my favorite moments from The Matrix. So that definitely has to be my go-to.
Very cool.
So as we dig in a little bit about Kaleidoscape, I mean, as you said, you've been there for a couple of years. How old is the company?
The company is 22 years old now. It started in 2001, so almost 23 years old, and was started by a team of guys who had come from another company that they had sold, and it was kind of in the early 2000s, and they had amassed lots of DVDs at their homes, and they were getting tired of having to go to the closet and take the DVD out and put it in the slot every time. And since they were adept at server-related products, they thought, well, why don't we set up a product where we could take all our disks, put them onto a server, and then we could just watch them from our chair and just click through them. And so that was where the concept of Kaleidoscape was born. So that's why the original system was based on taking your disc collection, putting it into the system, and being able to watch your movies off the server. And then over time, the industry morphed. The Blu-ray format came along, and that had different levels of security with it. And so the requirements became different so that you had to have your disc, prove that you had a disc when you went to watch the disc. And so it got to be a little more onerous. And so then in 2016, about was when we introduced what we call the Strato system, which is completely based on purchasing movies from our store, which is purchasing studio movies through us from our store, and then downloading them onto a localized server, which was originally could have been a standalone all-in-one unit. Now we've moved to the idea of always having a server device and some player devices and having those separate, because we found that the all-in-one devices were compromised in terms of download speed and processing power and so forth. So we now let the servers do server stuff really well and players do player stuff really well.
Yeah, and I would think that shines well in an environment where maybe you have one server and multiple players kind of throughout an installation.
Absolutely. And that's part of it. So, you know, just by having the servers by themselves and being able to do server things, they can download faster. They can download while a movie is playing. So that, yeah, you can be watching a movie in one room. You can be downloading movies. You can be watching, someone else can be watching a different movie or the same movie in another room. It's a much more flexible configuration all the way around.
So I guess starting out kind of high level, what use cases and kind of where do you think that Kaleidoscape's products shine?
Kaleidoscape's products shine in any situation where there is someone who loves movies, first of all, and second of all, has a decent display and decent audio system. You know, so that's the kind of the minimum requirement. If you like to watch movies, you know, you don't have to have a dedicated home theater with a black box and everything. That you, if you like to watch movies, the Kaleidoscape platform, just as a movie watching platform, is great because you can have up to 14,000 titles from our collection in your system and be able to just go through all of those, not have to think about which studio did it come from. So which service do I need to go to get it? And do I have good enough bandwidth to download it and or to stream it today? Because anything you purchase, you have in your house, you can watch it anytime. And, you know, the great interface, which you can see over my shoulder here, you know, everyone knows it's a great way to be able to search through your own library. But it's also a great tool for being able to find movies, new movies that you want to watch when you've already exhausted your whole library, that there are tools built into that. So that's, you know, what the baseline of Kaleidoscape is. But then if you get to a system where you've got, you do have a projector, you know, a nice projector, and a nice theater, a nice screen, and a great sound system, if you don't have a Kaleidoscape system that's feeding that, then you are shortchanging yourself, because there's just not enough bits coming over streaming to be able to get you all the color, all the detail, all the high frequency and low frequency sounds that you are expecting out of the equipment that you've purchased.
Yeah, I know that's something, you know, when we did our home theater segment, we talked about quite a bit with some of our other, you know, CDA market experts, which I think that's a great kind of section to lean in on. So I guess let's talk a little bit about other ways people watch movies and how that compares to Kaleidoscape. So you mentioned streaming. So, you know, if you think about your Apple TV, your Netflix, Roku, whatever streaming device most common people would have, tell us a little bit about kind of the difference in fidelity you hit on a little bit from something like that and kind of where those things top out.
So, streaming devices, the internet is limited bandwidth-wise, and even assuming that a given person has, you know, a gigabit Ethernet coming into their house, what's coming out of Netflix or Amazon or whatever is still limited, or even iTunes. You know, iTunes is probably the best, and in best case, they're getting, I think, 12 to 15 megabits per second, but in general, if you look across all of the services and what people generally get, because things vary for a bunch of reasons, you're probably getting about 8 megabits per second is the average data rate you're getting into your home. And that's including both video and audio. And so compare that to what Kaleidoscape provides. So you've already got all the bits in your home. And so the data rate coming off of the server for the video portion is going to average somewhere in the 70 to 80 megabits per second. So it's 10 times the amount of video data that's coming out of the, off of the file. And similarly, on the audio side, the audio part of a streaming system is a Dolby Digital format. And so the Dolby Digital is already highly compressed. And so we know that they've had to take out a lot of detail that's in the high end and the low end. And so we are giving you losslessly compressed, so basically effectively uncompressed audio the way that it came from the studio. So you're getting all the channels, the full range of frequencies, the full amount of detail, the full amount of information that helps you to determine where in the room in an Atmos system that particular noise is supposed to be coming from and moving to across the room. And so there's just so much more information in a Kaleidoscape movie than you get off of streaming.
You can definitely tell. I mean, and from the time I spent with it, just looking at stuff on streaming versus that, I think when you get to a system like what we put in my home, it is evident. Do you think that fidelity, is it seen more on the video side or the audio side? Obviously, it's both, but is there one that's more constrained than the other versus streaming?
It's not that one's more constrained than the other, but I'll talk about both of those. So the video side, you're not necessarily an average person may not notice as much of a difference because the differences are more subtle in some ways. And that's because the video manufacturers, like the one I used to work for, designed the processing for the incoming video and to get it onto the screen to make up for the deficiencies in streaming. And so to take care of blocking noise, mosquito noise, and add detail that gets compressed out. So like the reality creation engine in Sony products, all of that is designed to take mediocre to poor video and turn it into good looking video on a big screen with lots of pixels. And so that's why when you're comparing a streaming video to a Kaleidoscape video, you might not notice a lot of difference, but if you know what to look for, if you look in the bright areas of the picture, like into the explosion or a fire, you can see the difference that in a streaming one, it's basically going to be white or maybe a bright yellow. But if you look in a Kaleidoscape version of that, you're going to see gradients of yellow, orange, and red in there, the way fire is supposed to look. But because that particular part of the picture is so bright, it has to compress out a lot of those colors. So that disappears. So that's part of it. And then there's still detail. You can always see the difference in detail if you can compare side by side, but most people aren't doing that in their home, so you won't notice. So that's the video side.
On the video side, I remember a time that really came to a head in the final season of Game of Thrones, where I don't remember the exact episode or whatever, but there was some stuff that was super dark. And this was kind of the height of everybody streaming this on what is now known as Max. And the content there just really fell apart. Whereas I'm sure if you watch that on Kaleidoscape now, it would be a much different experience.
Yep, that was the final episode, and everybody complained about it in real time as it was happening. And you could actually do that test. You can go ahead and get the Game of Thrones from Kaleidoscape. It's available from us. And there's reviews that have been posted already. And say, this is all the stuff that was missing in the original broadcast of that show. Again, there's not enough bits, so something has to go away.
You wanted to talk about audio as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So the audio is the thing that people notice right away. When you do an A-B comparison, if you play a scene off of your Apple TV and then play that same scene off of a Kaleidoscape player, anybody sitting in the room will notice that there's just more sound, there's better sound, there's more detail, there's more information around the room. If it's an Atmos movie, that you'll really get to hear the stuff that's coming from all of the speakers that are in the room, which you just find is missing in some of those other, a more compressed stream. And something I'm just going to, I really want to point out because it happened in real world for me last weekend, that we wanted to watch one of the last big movies with a major Oscar nomination to it. And so we decided to watch it off of the streaming platform that was available. And as we're watching it, it's just so difficult to understand that my wife was saying, you know, she can't understand. We just keep turning it up. And then when some music happens, it blows you out of your seat. And so I stopped it at one point and explained to her what was going on, just because that's what I do. And the fact is that high frequency takes a lot of data to transmit, you know, to be able to represent. You need a lot of actual bits to represent high frequency sounds. And that is the sounds that make up the consonants that is a part of speech. And so that's how you can tell what S's are and C's are and K's and those different sounds. Those things are the first things that get compressed out of a streaming audio. And so I don't know if you've talked to anybody, but you know, so many people these days keep saying that they have to use subtitles when they're watching movies now. And that's the reason, because the actual dialogue is getting compressed out and it's impossible to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought about it that way, but we definitely were users of subtitles more on our normal TV, and I haven't turned them on as often in the theater, for sure.
That's the reason why. It's just, so that's, you know, the real world example. But just otherwise, you know, music and the explosions and things, it's just much more present, and there's more volume, usable volume, not just painful volume coming off of a Clydescape system.
Something that you shared with me when we talked at Cedia that I thought was notable, you know, we're talking about different kinds of methods of getting content and how you guys compete. It was notable to me that the content that's most close to the fidelity, what you can offer is, you know, a high-end 4K Blu-ray, but you actually explained to me that even sometimes, depending on the size of the content on the Blu-ray, they can't even fit the full content on there. So I would love you to share that a little bit with our audience.
You know, as anyone has seen who watches movies, that movies are returning to getting longer and longer. For a while, they'd gotten shorter. Everything was 90 minutes. But now, you know, 2-hour movies is typical. But you get into things like Dune, Avengers Endgame, Infinity War, things like that, and the movies are well beyond 2 hours, getting up into 3 hours. And so the physical disc can only hold so many bits. And the most typical size disc is a 66 gigabyte disc, because that's a dual layer disc. That you can have a 100 gigabyte disc, but it's a 3-layer disc. It's much more expensive to produce. The yield is lower, all these things. And so the studio has to really want to make an effort to decide to do that and spend the money and hope that they're going to be able to recoup the cost of that bigger, much denser disc. And that doesn't happen very often. So typically you're going to see movies released on a 66 gigabyte disc. And so if you look at Avengers Endgame, the movie is just about 3 hours long. And with Clydescape, our goal is to make, you know, we already know that the audio is going to be lossless, so it's as pristine as it's going to be. We want to make the video on the screen visually lossless, meaning that no one is going to be able to detect frame by frame any errors, artifacts in the picture. And so in order to do that, we go through the movie multiple times, look it over. There's multiple people looking through it to make sure that it all looks good as we compress it, because it needs, you know, when we get it from the studio, it's a very large file, and that's not something that is within the consumer viewing format. So we have to encode it and compress out some information. So we try to compress out as little as possible. And so in doing so, if that file ends up being 105 gigabytes, there's no disk that would fit on. But we can deliver that because we don't have a constraint on the physical size of this. It's going to take a couple seconds longer for you to download the movie. But once you have it, you're going to have all of those bits in your house. Whereas on the disk, that disk was a 66 gigabyte disk. And on that disk, they need to be able to put some number of audio tracks, so multiple languages, multiple formats of audio, and then some subtitle tracks and some special features and some coming attractions, and then whatever's left on that disk is the space that they need to compress the movie into. And so the movie's going to get compressed at a data rate that fits that. And so the difference between a 66 gigabyte delivery on a disk and 103 gigabyte delivery from Kaleidoscape, you can just tell from that we are providing more data that's going to make things look and sound better in your home.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, on some of those longer, more significant movies, too, which, like you said, seem to be more and more. And that's where you're really going to see that big difference between the physical media. One of the other things, obviously, we're a smart home podcast, so I'd love for you to share a little bit about what Kaleidoscape can do today to interact with home automation systems and share a little bit about that.
Sure. That's another place where Kaleidoscape, you know, just shines as a smart home device in a way that is not possible with any other video device, you know, movie watching device. So with all of our titles, we include some triggers or some metadata that provides information to a control system, which could be a lighting system, a shading system, a screen masking system, a lens system, and a projector that helps to make sure that the picture looks as good as it can on the screen and creates that kind of customized experience that you want in a smart home. The whole point of having this control system in a smart home is to do things for you. So within a given movie, the one thing is the aspect ratio. And so when you start playing a movie, the aspect ratio is transmitted out to whatever control system and other downstream devices there are. And so if you've got a 2:3:5 screen on your wall and the movie is going to be 16:9, if you've got a projector with a motorized lens, that could tell the projector to zoom the lens in to fit the height of the screen. And if you've got masking, bring down masking on the sides of the screen. If you've got a 16:9 screen and you're going to watch a 2:3:5 title, then that may tell the screen to bring in the masking on the top and bottom to fit the size of that screen, the aspect ratio, perfectly. And as we know, that there's multiple aspect ratios that movies are produced in. 1.78 is 16:9. 1.85 is typically what home movies were being produced in. But then when high definition came along and people had that 16:9 capability, then the theaters and the studios started to put out 2:3:5 and 2:4:0 and a variety of other aspect ratios. And so being able to transmit that information and for people who have masking capability to be able to have that screen mask perfectly to what each of those different shaped screens is a great option. Then in terms of the other automation, within the timing of the movie, that we will tell the system whether you're watching the menus where, you know, you're basically just searching through the screen, whether the movie is playing, whether you're in intermission, or whether you're in end credits. And so what that does is when you sit down, you go into the room, you turn everything on, the lights are all on, and the system comes up, menus on the screen, you sit down and you go through and decide what movie you want to watch. When you pick a movie and you hit play, that will send a trigger that says the movie is now playing. And that trigger can be used by the control system to now set a different lighting scene, which, you know, might just be all the lights off in the room. It might be just a couple of sconces or something, depending however you want the room to look when you're watching. Can also be used to shut the shades. So if this is a room with windows, you want to bring the shades down when you start watching the movie. And then in the middle of the movie, if you need to get up for any reason to go get more popcorn or use the facilities, there's an intermission button. You press the intermission button and that pauses the movie. It puts the box cover up on the full screen. And then you can use that to create another lighting cue that puts up enough light so that at least the people who need to get out can see their way out of the room. Instead of just a typical control system, you hit pause and all the lights just come on. And that can be kind of jarring. It's not very fun.
Yes.
And then when you come back, you just hit the intermission button again. The movie starts to play and the lights go back to whatever the movie watching cue is. And then when we hit the end credits, just like in a movie theater, as soon as the credits start to roll, the lights start to ramp up. So you can do the same thing and set a lighting cue for end credits in your control system so that when it gets that trigger, that you can set a ramp that's 2 minutes or 3 minutes even to start ramping up the lights. And it feels like you're in a, you know, a professional commercial theater, but you're doing it in your home.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's one of those little details that really enhances the experience and gives you that full cinema experience at home that just kind of adds some extra wow to a setup for sure.
Yeah, and we actually have a direct integration with Lutron in our system. So if you have a Lutron lighting system and shading system, that you can set up a Phantom control panel and then just assign the scenes to that control panel. And then within the Kaleidoscape GUI, go in and set the triggers, the scenes to those triggers, and you know, make it simple, which is that basic level of control.
And what about the other automation systems? What else do you integrate with?
We integrate with all of the, effectively any automation system. And we've got, there are profiles for Kaleidoscape and Crestron and Savant and URC and RTI. What am I forgetting?
Nice. Control 4. Yeah.
Right. Control 4. Control 4 actually has, there's a Chow-Main driver, which is really good for the Control 4 system. And Chow-Main also did one for Elon. So, you know, there's a lot of great integration with the Kaleidoscape for any of those control systems.
Yeah, for sure. Do you see any kind of future, any areas in automation that you don't support today that you'd love to see? Or do you see any other potential there of things that could be done?
Well, actually, there's one other thing that we do that I should mention, that we're also integrated with Josh AI. So that kind of the next level of automation is voice control, right? And you want to be able to just sit down and say what you want to do. And so Josh AI allows you to do that. So you can sit down, if you have a Kaleidoscape system, then you can say, play Blues Brothers, and it will go and find the movie. If you, any movie that you call out, if you own that movie on Kaleidoscape, even though you may have other streaming services where it's available as well, it will play it off of the Kaleidoscape player.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen their demo before. It's pretty impressive.
So, you know, I guess the only level beyond that would be if you just were thinking what you wanted to watch and it came out.
We talked a little bit about kind of some of the history of getting content onto the platform. And I know this is something that you and I talked about. I guess tell everybody a little bit about kind of the ways that you have of customers who already own some media to get that media onto the platform.
Yeah. You know, as we talked about before, that we started with a disc-based system. And so we had a lot of customers who had systems filled with movies that they'd imported from discs. And as they wanted to migrate to the Strato platform, we worked with the studios and developed a system that we call our disc-to-digital discounting. And so what that is the studios actually provide discounted prices to customers who own a movie license on a different format. So if you own a movie, you know, you bought a disc, and so you've got the disc-based license for that movie, that Kaleidoscape knows that you own that disc. And so because of that, the studio will provide a discounted price. And so that works kind of seamlessly if you've got your imports on your system. But for a new customer who's coming to Kaleidoscape with that closet full of discs or shelves full of discs, what we've implemented is a cataloging system that is very simple to acquire and implement for anybody. So we used to have to use our own disc-based products, and we'd loan those out. And so that was just onerous. And so now you can take an off-the-shelf Blu-ray BD-ROM drive, as long as it is connected via USB 2.0 or 3.0 interface and has its own power supply, not getting power through the USB cable. You can connect that to a Strato player, and that becomes a cataloging device. And when that's connected and the system's turned on, the player will know that it's got a BD-ROM connected to it. And so you open the drawer, put the disc in, and close the drawer. And within a couple of seconds, it's in practice, it's probably 4 or 5 seconds. We say it's less than 10 seconds that it'll read the disc and we'll recognize what the disc is and add that to your library as a disc that you own, a movie that you own on disc. And then it'll pop the drawer open and you can pull the disc out and put the next one in. So you can, you know, in a pretty quick afternoon, catalog a pretty good pile of discs into the system. And so then once those are cataloged to your movie store account. And so we know that you own those movies. You'll see in the movie store, when you go on to the online store, under the manage menu, there's an entry for digital offers. And when you look in there, that's going to just bring up all the movies that you own in some format where there's either a digital download version or a better version available of that movie. And it will show you right there what the price of that is. So a movie that if you didn't already own it on disc that might cost you $24.99, that movie, because you put it HD disc in, cataloged in HD disc, may be $9.99 to purchase that download from Kaleidoscape now. And that, in a lot of cases, if it's available, could be a 4K version of the download instead of the HD that you brought to it. In some cases, if you're going from HD to HD, some of the pricing is like $4.92 for a movie. And some movies are as little as, I think, $1.50 something is what I've seen. We just had some price changes recently. And so that we make it as cost effective as possible to migrate your disc collection to a downloaded Kaleidoscape collection. And the caveat to that is that not all the studios participate as equally in this. Some studios, you know, really don't offer any discount. And so we've just provided whatever we can to make it give you some benefit of owning the disc. But other studios are, you know, fully on board. And so that's why you can get a really good discount for purchasing the movie and downloading it to your system.
I know this is something that we talked about as well, but have you guys ever had any conversations with the studios about some of the other like digital platforms, like Movies Anywhere or anything like that, to use as a method for that same kind of authentication?
So, you know, we used to be a partner with Ultraviolet.
Okay.
So we used to be part of the Ultraviolet world. And so if you bought a disc and it had an Ultraviolet code and you put that code into your locker, and then you connected your locker and your account to your Kaleidoscape account, then you could download those movies on Kaleidoscape for free. So it was a great way for people who did have a digital collection to be able to move it to there. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, Ultraviolet stopped existing almost 5 years ago. And so that whole option went away. Since then, there hasn't been a digital movie provider that provides the full range of content. So, you know, Movies Anywhere probably has the largest collection of studios that you can choose from, but they still don't have all of them. And because of the ownership of that platform, there are some studios that are never going to be a part of that. So that it's difficult to pick someone to work with to partner up with that for that, if we're not going to be able to give everybody a one-for-one capability of being able to get digital versions.
Yeah. I mean, I think I understand, and, you know, there's challenges there. I mean, I think that question was, you know, kind of for myself. I think, you know, that was a challenge that I had, you know, with the product, that I probably gave up buying discs, you know, maybe 10 years ago, and have mostly bought stuff on digital, obviously not thinking far enough ahead, or even, you know, in some cases got rid of discs, unfortunately, because I was like, oh, I have the digital copy, who needs that anymore, kind of thing. So, you know, I think it is a hurdle for some people, obviously, especially if you have a big collection. But, you know, I fully understand the complexities of arrangements and all those kinds of things too. That's a challenge for sure.
And there's some financial challenges too, because the process of making the files available and sending them to people, you know, there's some costs associated with that. And so just by the fact that you were able to go and get a code off the internet and apply that to Kaleidoscape and get a free download is not a sustainable business model.
Yeah, you guys got to cover your costs.
Yeah.
All right, before we wrap up, I'd love to hear anything, you know, you can share about, you know, long-term goals and kind of where you guys see Kaleidoscape fitting in this space, you know, with hardware, software, customer experience. You know, where do you guys see the product going, and what are some of the opportunities you see out there?
All right. You know, when we met back at Cedia, we had just launched the Terra Prime server series, which was a pretty big step up from our previous servers, in that we completely redesigned the motherboard and applied a brand new processor that was much faster, applied a new network interface, you know, network card that was much faster. And so it just makes the system work faster and better. So now you can, we are the only server that's available for the home with a 2.5 gigabit interface. So if you've got a 2.5 gigabit or more service into your home, you can download movies extremely quickly, basically with a hard drive based server in about 8 minutes for a 4K movie. We did that as the basic chassis. And then we introduced as a part of that, so the TeraPrime version of our hard drive servers, which are available in 8 terabytes, 22 terabytes, 48 and 88 terabytes. And then at the same time, we also introduced a solid state drive version of those servers, both in 8 terabytes and 31 terabytes. And so adding the solid state memory provides certain advantages, which are great for certain applications. So the main things that it does is, because it's even faster than a disk, it allows us to be able to serve more streams at the same time. So that's why it's not something that in general most people are going to need, but Yachts is the kind of the poster child customer application where you need to, you've got 20 staterooms and everybody's going into their room at night and all trying to watch a movie at the same time. So our hard drive based servers, the full size ones, can serve up to 10 4K videos at the same time across the network. The SSD version can do up to 25 streams at the same time. So, you know, if you need that many people to be able to watch at the same time, then that's why you need SSD. It also, because it's not spinning disks, it's not affected by motion and things that happen out on the open seas getting bounced around that are going to affect your hard drive. So that's why it's, you know, particularly designed for that. And the cost is applied appropriately too. So that's why I said the bigger version is 31 terabytes, which costs the same as the 88 terabyte version of the hard disk version. So, you know, unless there's some reason why you really feel like you want to have an SSD server at home, you know, the hard drive one's going to be much better and much more cost efficient per terabyte. And so, you know, beyond that, we are constantly updating our software and our platform. And one of the things that just rolled out, I think today, was, you know, it's a simple thing, but we have a wish list. So when you're, you know, looking at movies, browsing through your store and you see a movie, I've heard about that movie and I think I'm going to want to watch it someday, but I don't want to get it today. You can add it to your wish list and then it'll sit there in a wish list. And so that's why then on Saturday night, when you're looking for, I want to watch a movie, but I want to get something new, you can just go to your wish list. Here are movies that I already know that I want to watch. And so you can just go there. And what we're going to do now is actually, whenever there's a price change, basically a price drop, either a permanent drop, thanks to the studio, or even a temporary sale that's going on. So, you know, typically around May the 4th, you get all the Star Wars features go on sale. And so we will notify you through your Kaleidoscape app and by email, however you have your notification set up, that movies on your wish list have now gone on sale, so that maybe that's a good opportunity to make a purchase. And I think this is an important thing to mention separately, is just that there are sales on our movies all the time for different reasons. You know, some of it's seasonal, like I said, you know, Star Wars around particular dates, but you can imagine Halloween time, Halloween related movies go on sale, Christmas related movies go on sale, and so forth. And so while the MSRP of our movies basically matches what you would pay for discs or downloads or streaming basically anywhere else, when they're on sale is a really good value. So, you know, just by paying attention to that, you can, you know, build your collection without really breaking the bank.
Awesome. Well, I super appreciate you joining us today and sharing all of this about the product. It's really a great product, and I look forward to getting into that further in the episode we're going to do with Richard and I, where I give my review. But yeah, definitely a hats off to you. You know, it's a technical marvel and an awesome piece of hardware and software.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be able to talk through some of this stuff with you. And anytime that you have any questions, feel free to reach back out.
All right. Thanks. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Andre. Richard will be back on our next episode, where we will go in depth with my review of the Kaleidoscape hardware and platform and tell you a little bit about my experience with it over the last few months. You can find me, of course, on Twitter at Adam Justice and all the other social media platforms under my name. And of course, the Smart Home Show is part of Technology.fm, a collection of tech-focused podcasts, including the Home Tech Podcast, the Spoon Podcast, and Richard's other podcast, Home On. You can find all of our show notes and all the details about each episode at smarthome.fm. And if you have feedback, questions to open the show, or anything else for us, you can send us an email at feedback@smarthome.fm. And of course, you can find the show in Apple Podcasts, Overcast, and everywhere you can find your podcasts. And do us a favor, leave us a rating or a review, or tell a friend about the show. Thanks for listening.